Penguin Random House Audio presents A Lucky Life Interrupted by Tom Brokaw. Read for you by Mark Bramhall. This book is dedicated to the next generation of our family, our grandchildren. Claire Vivian Fry, Meredith Lynn Fry, Vivian Aranka Simon, Charlotte Bird Simon, and Archer Thomas Merritt Brokaw. 5 Reasons to Live Long and Drink Deeply from Their Love. Summer. In the seasons of life, I have had more than my share of summers. A long run of sunny days and adventurous nights, filled with lucky stars, uninterrupted by great personal calamity, rewarding in ways I could not have imagined in those formative years on the Great Plains. Our eldest daughter, Jennifer, reflecting her training as an emergency room physician, was along for the ride, but she worried. "Dad," she would say, "we've never had anything go really wrong in our family. I wonder if we could handle it." We were about to find out. In February 2013, I turned 73, or more accurately, blew through the birthday, ignoring the actuarial truths that I was now in a mortality zone defined by age. What, me? After all, I spent the beginning of the 74th year biking hard through Chile and Argentina with some contemporaries. In the spring, I had flown to Africa to report on Nelson Mandela's final days and to accompany my wife, Meredith, to Malawi, where she has worked with a women's cooperative to establish a thriving business producing canned tomatoes. We finished up at a lodge in Zimbabwe, bumping through the bush on wildlife excursions, and, for Meredith, morning horseback rides. I started the day with swimming exercises, hoping to relieve what had become a persistent lower back pain. I attributed it to long plane rides and an active lifestyle. If it didn't get better, I planned to see a renowned orthopedist when I returned to New York, a sports medicine doc who, over the years, had treated me for similar ailments after a summer of rock climbing, backpacking, trekking, long-distance running, and bushwhacking to remote mountain lakes. Probably require some therapy, I thought, never considering it could be anything more than an over-exercised back. The conceit of a long, lucky life is that bad things happen to others. Jennifer's cautionary line about whether we could handle misfortune was provocative, and yet it seemed more of a group therapy subject than reality in our family. Not for the first time, I was wrong, but in early summer I had no idea what was to come. I was determined to work through the steady, nagging pain and spend July and August on the trout waters of Montana. That New York orthopedist, who's a longtime friend and familiar with my physical activities, ordered a conventional spinal X-ray and, after examining it, reported that apart from some expected thinning of a lower-level disc, no major anomalies showed up. He recommended more morning stretching exercises and over-the-counter pain relievers. I happily plunged into my fishing schedule, but then, inexplicably, took 2 hard falls— one on a rocky passage across my Montana home stream, and one while in a boat on the Missouri River. What the hell, I thought, is this what happens when you hit 73? The back pain continued, resisting what I hoped would be the therapeutic effects of more stretching, Tylenol, massages, and limited golf and biking. Besides, we had more to worry about in our extended family. Jennifer called to report that her mother-in-law, Lynn Fry, had been hospitalized with acute abdominal pain. Jennifer and her husband, Alan Fry, a radiologist, were on a second honeymoon when they got the call, and Jennifer immediately said that it didn't look good. They arrived at the hospital to hear the diagnosis. Lynn had a massive tumor on her pancreas. Pancreatic cancer is particularly lethal. 3 weeks later, she was gone. Lynn was 75, a small-town school librarian who had moved to the San Francisco area to be near our shared granddaughters. Meredith and I had an easy relationship with Lynn and admired how she managed her life after the death of her husband. She became a competitive ballroom dancer and took cruises with a companion she met on the dance floor. Her life was as organized as a Dewey Decimal System card file in a community library. When pancreatic cancer struck, she accepted it without a whine or a whimper. Her apartment, books, and personal effects were quickly put in order for family members. She checked into hospice with the help of Jennifer, who as a physician is working hard to raise awareness of making the right decisions for emotional and financial reasons at the end of life. Pancreatic cancer is one of the few cancers that worried me as I passed into my 70s. It's a lightning strike. It hits without warning and almost always kills. I've had 5 friends die of it quickly, including the New York Times columnist Bill Sapphire. I saw him at a Washington event in March 2009, tearful and full of pithy observations. By the end of September of that year, he was dead. Still, even with Lynn so close to our family, it was more of an abstraction than a reality. Yes, I know pancreatic cancer is a threat, but to someone else, right? For all the attention cancer receives publicly, such as at stand-up-to-cancer events during the World Series, or when big, tough NFL linemen show up in pink shoes to draw attention to breast cancer, my guess is that most of us duck it by thinking, not me. The numbers blow a big hole in those not-me assumptions. The American Cancer Society estimates that in 2015, 1,658,370 new cancer cases will be diagnosed, and that in the same year, about 1,600 people will die from cancer-related conditions daily. Those are big numbers, but the encouraging news is that there's been a 20% drop in the death rate from cancer in the last 20 years as a result of a reduction in smoking, improved patient awareness, and giant leaps in treating almost all forms of the disease. President Richard Nixon declared war on cancer in 1971, and while significant progress has been made, this is a war of incremental victories. As we live longer, the odds are greater that cancer in some form will strike some part of the human body. Lynn Fry's death was so sudden and so well managed by her, Jennifer, and Alan that it seemed a long way from our lives. Nonetheless, if pancreatic cancer strikes 1 in 78 men and women, why shouldn't I feel vulnerable? Denial is a strong, if imperfect, defense. Meredith and I joined the Fries and friends in the family hometown, Claremore, Oklahoma, for the burial and to share memories of Lynn's role as a school librarian. Alan's father, a local legend as a high school athlete and, later, coach, had died a few years earlier. In size and style, Claremore, the home of Will Rogers and the 50s singing star Patti Page, shared the DNA of our hometown in South Dakota. It was also familiar, the talk of high school athletics, the struggle to keep Main Street a viable business district, and most of all, the shared familial loss when someone is gone, however long he or she had been absent from the careworn neighborhoods. It was a mix of melancholy and merriment as Alan gave us a tour of the town, showing off the library where his mother had worked and the school where his dad had coached. We had a large family dinner at a restaurant famous for its high caloric count dishes, smothered in gravy and batter-fried everything. One of the big old boy patrons left with a stack of carry-out cartons and a .45-caliber pistol strapped on his waist. Oklahoma has an open carry law. If that happened in New York, people would be diving under tables, but I'd spent so much time in the West, I was not surprised. 50 years ago, I fled small-town life as swiftly as I could for bright lights, big city. At age 75, I have an ever greater appreciation of these communities, which, at the end, remember and honor where you began. That realization was not a personal epiphany. I didn't walk the streets of Claremore thinking, "My God, at my age I have to start thinking about when I die and where I end up." I've adopted the guideline of Warren Buffett's partner, Charlie Munger, who says, "I want to know where I'll be when I die, so I never go there." It did occur to Meredith and me that now we...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?